it this way this morning, and I'll never forsake Him. No, I'll never forsake Him. Oh, I'll never forsake Him, because He first loved me. And oh, how I love Jesus. You love Him this morning? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Amen. God bless you this morning. It's good to feel His presence.
Amen.
Amen. Good to be amongst believers. Just good to see what the Lord's doing. And we've got some treats for you after service, so don't slip out too quick, even if the preaching gets hard. You just stick around, there'll be something for you later. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's turn. I've been had a sermon on my heart for quite some time, and this pneumonia has kind of kept me from bringing it, and had it on my heart this morning, and then thought, well, maybe it's just not time yet. And I looked at another sermon and thought, well, maybe I'll preach that. And so I've been kind of going back and forth all this weekend about what to preach, but I just feel like it's time to preach this, and you bear with me. You may not agree with everything I say this morning, but that's okay. And it's something I've had in my heart for some time. I think it's needful for the bride of Jesus Christ, and just seeing some changes and some movements and things amongst the bride, I feel like it's time for us to stand and say what we believe and what we stand for. And if you just turn with me to Psalm 133, verse 1. Thank you, Brother Layton, for not stealing my psalm. And you pray for me this morning. I have plenty of voice. Dad kept asking me yesterday, what are you taking for your cough? And it's not really that I have a cough. I don't have drainage. I don't have a cough. My voice is fine. Usually when I get up here and sound like this, it's because my voice is shot from preaching or singing or just from drainage, you know, irritating it or something like that. But it's just I don't have much lung strength. So you just pray for me that I'll be able to have enough wind to preach what's on my heart. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let's read that verse together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that ascended, or descended rather, upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. When I was a much younger man, my uncle had invited me to preach. I'd had a call in my life since a very young age, probably about 3 or 4 years old, just feeling a call to preach. And I told the Lord when I got a little older that if it was His will for me to preach, that sometime my uncle that lives in Kentucky that's preached for us here, Brother Morris, that he would just ask me out of the blue sometime to come and preach for him. And we were at a funeral for one of my dad's cousins, and it was a Wednesday afternoon, and Uncle Morris came up to me and said, why don't you preach for us tonight? And I thought, oh my, here we go, Lord. And the Bible talks about gifts and callings being without repentance, and even after I started to preach in those early years, there were still things that I struggled with, and you hadn't really found my spot with the Lord. I was running from the gift for quite a while because I couldn't live the kind of life I wanted to live and date the people I wanted to date and all those different things with that gift. So I ran from it for a while. But initially, first few sermons that I preached there in Liberty, Kentucky, And I was 17 years old the first time I stepped behind the pulpit. I preached on lights in Laodicea. That was in 1999, I guess, if my math serves me correctly. And then the very next sermon that I preached would have been 14 years ago. It was January the 2nd of 2000, and I preached on a separation of brotherhood. A separation of brotherhood. And it was something that was heavy on my heart then. We're going to look at that again this morning. A separation of brotherhood. Let's just bow our heads, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, a group of people. Lord, many of us have serious needs in our lives, some physical, some financial, some spiritual, many different things that people are facing and battling. And Lord, I just ask you to be with this group of people that you've gathered here this morning. Lord, we know that each one that's here, that you predestinated them to be here before there was even a man on the earth. You knew that we would be sitting here this morning. And Father, as I look at some of these things this morning that's been so heavy on my heart, just a desire to see fellowship restored among the bride of Jesus Christ, Lord, I just ask you to get me out of the way. May it not be my personality, may it not be my opinions, but Lord, may we, from the Word of God, look at this together this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning. You can be seated. And I want to look at a few quotes here to kind of lay a foundation for what we're looking at this morning. He says in 1962, and why I'm against organized religion, he says, look at the Pharisees. Would have nothing to do with the Sadducees, because the Sadducees didn't believe in either angel or spirit or resurrection or anything. And the Pharisees possessed both, and they were at war with one another. Here we have two religious groups, both professing to follow Moses, both believing that God sent a prophet, but yet they were at war with one another. He said, now the oneness believes one thing, the Trinity believes another, and the Methodists another, and the Presbyterian another, and you draw little lines, and what have you got? A separation of brotherhood. Now, he's talking about the Pentecostal church, but we can bring that right down into the message today and see where every little group, they divide over this and they drive over that. They've got their little pet doctrines or their men of influence that they follow. And, well, I'm with this brother and I'm with that brother. And they draw little lines. And what do? It causes a separation of brotherhood, a separation of fellowship. Now, Brother Branham says, he talks about the story of the little ducks, and he said there were these two groups of little ducks that were there, and a farmer had fenced them apart. They had a big fence in between them, and those little ducks wanted to have fellowship together, and they would sit back on either side of the fence, and they would just quack back and forth and have a good time, but they couldn't really get together in fellowship because they'd been fenced apart. And he said, one day there came a flood through the land, and the waters began to rise. Oh, I pray that the waters began to rise this morning. And he said, when they did, that fence didn't matter anymore because the waters just lifted them right up over top of the fence that was in between them. So we've got there's a lot of doctrinal fences in the message. We've had a lot of denominational fences that we've brought over from the denominations that, well, I see it this way and I've been taught it that way. But the real bride of Christ wants to have fellowship together. I've got two uncles that are preachers, and we don't see everything eye to eye, but I still have fellowship with them. They're my brothers. I love them. There's many brothers that, you know, if I sat here this morning and said I'm only going to fellowship with everybody I see eye to eye with, I'd be sitting in a corner by myself somewhere. Because there's none of you that we probably, if we sat down and took every little verse and every little scripture and every little quote, there would eventually be something that we'd run across that we'd say, no, I just don't see it that way. That's all right. God made us all separate, made us all individuals. Some of us have been brought up under different backgrounds. Some of us have been brought up under different ministries. Some came out of different denominations. And you, whether you like it or not, if you're not careful, you bring in some of those characteristics from whatever your upbringing has been with you. Some, they set, you know, they're a Methodist church supposedly, but it's basically a Methodist church with the name of Message. Others set, and they're similar to maybe a Pentecostal church, but with the name of Message. What is it? They've brought those characteristics and those traits and those things over with them, and some of those things are fine, and some of them we should be careful because we don't want to try to bring our denominational ideas in and try to make the message fit our denominational ideas. Is, but we should try to make what we believe fit what the message says and what the Bible says. conferences in 1961 in Bloomington, Illinois. He says, I tell you, the church was in better order 40 years ago for the coming of the Lord than it is tonight, because we're at the Laodicean church. We realize that it's the very age we're living in, and that was the only church that Jesus was found outside his own church, knocking on the door, trying to get back in. Listen to this. He says, our differences has turned him away. Our differences, he didn't say our differences has just caused us to not be able to get together and have soup suppers. He said, our differences has turned him away. Separation of brotherhood and the way that we've sent after the things of the world instead of the things of God. He said we ought to have been plumb into Canaan's land, and here we are in the wilderness wandering around and around again like they did back there. We should have been all kinds of gifts and signs and wonders in our churches. Instead of that, God can raise up something and we get all scared of it and walk away and say we don't understand these things. Why is it? Many of them, it was because it didn't come out of their little group or their little church or their little organization. He said God raised up that little David, a little boy preacher. And he said God would have saved millions of children through that little boy's ministry if the people could have just got behind him. He said the problem is we're all trying to pack the ball. And if our group can't pack the ball, then, you know, then just fooey with it. We're not going to have anything to do with it. And he said if we could all just get behind the person that has the ball when you go play football. Can you imagine, Brother Stevens, a Broncos fan, can you imagine if his Broncos went out of here and played the Colts or somebody, and they were out there, and everybody on the Broncos team said, I'm going to pack the ball, and they were all fighting one another, trying to get the ball away from one another on their own team, just so that they could say, I packed the ball today. What kind of a team would it be? Sadly, that's what we've done in the message. Somebody raised up with a unique ministry or with some great thing they're doing from God. And what do we have? We've had five dozen little Donnie Reagans running around. Why? Because God sent a ministry that was anointed and everybody tried to copy after him. They hold the pulpit like he does. They hold his tie like he does. They dance on one foot like he does. Why? It's carnal impersonations of something that God sent. It happened in Brother Branham's day. It happened in Pentecost. It happened in the Baptist church. Mike, can you imagine all the little Luthers trying to get people to come out of the Catholic Church? But there was one man that God had sent with the message. When Brother Branham came, the healing revival, Brother Branham said you could just rack them in everywhere, healing campaigns and things. What was it? There was a man that had a message, but everybody was trying to pack the ball. Everybody was trying to do something. Everybody wanted to have a part. And that's wonderful. We all do have a part, but don't copy somebody else's part. Don't copy somebody else's part. I can't be somebody else. I can't be Brother Morris or Brother Jeff or all these different brothers. I've got to be Nathan Bryant. What God called me to do. You say, I don't understand why Brother Nathan does some of the things that he does. Well, maybe God didn't call you to do the things that he called me to do. What have we done? We've divided, we've separated. Brother Bram said that little boy, millions of souls, little children, he could have brought to Christ. And what has happened? Then they raised up and everybody had to have a little David. The Presbyterians, the oneness, the two-ness, the three-ness, the assemblies of God. Everybody had to have a little David. And what did it do? Then it just watered down his ministry, because here was 1,000 of them running around. Everybody had a little David. And if you were assemblies of God, you could go hear your little David. And if you were Presbyterian, you could go hear your little David. And all these things, what is it? That's what the people want, because they want to keep that fellowship divided. Oh, we're of this group over here. Don't have anything to do with them. Don't go hear their little David. God making his promise in 1956. He says, not only that, but you fuss and fight and bat and stew and argue against. I'm a oneness. I'm a Trinitarian. Hallelujah. You ain't got nothing. He said, you haven't either, as long as you act like that. I belong to the assemblies. I belong to this. I belong to that. Why don't you belong to Christ? Certainly. But you draw little denominational barriers and separate fellowship. I got more wind than I thought I had, Brother Stephen. I might pass out here after I get out from under the anointing, Brother Jimmy, but... You draw little denominational barriers and separate fellowship, separate the brotherhood, and then wonder why you don't have miracles and things happening in your church. The miracle worker has gone. That's right. No wonder you can't believe in the divine working of the Holy Spirit. It isn't with you anymore. Why? Because you thought you were a little better than somebody else. Well, our group or our church, let me tell you, friends, if this church ever gets that attitude, we're in for a shock. That we think we're better than somebody else down the road, or we've got a better pastor, or a better song leader, or better deacons, or better this, or better that, and we think, well, we're a little bit better than somebody else. Don't you realize that's what the devil did from the very beginning? He wanted to go over and have a little bit better kingdom than Michael, and he wanted to have things prettier, and he wanted people to worship him, and that very same thing enters into churches, and the big churches say, oh, if they had anything, you know, if that little group over there, they had anything going for them, they'd have more people come out, so we know they're not a god, and the small churches turn around and say, oh, we know those big churches aren't anything of God, because if they really preached the truth, they wouldn't have that many people. Constantly separating. There was a situation that happened many, many thousands of years ago, and man had come together in fellowship. And they had got to a point, they all spoke the same language, they all had the same idea, they all had the same goal, and they had decided that they were going to build a tower up into heaven, which we know they couldn't do it because heaven isn't a million miles off somewhere in the universe, it's just here another step faster in a different dimension as we've been looking at the dimensions. But intellectually, they got this idea that we're going to build a tower and we're going to stretch it up into the heavens. And we're going to go up and meet God. We're going to walk up and knock on His doorstep. And they begin to work together. And they begin to form and to create something that maybe even modern technology and all of us today couldn't even design, because they were all working together in unity. To where it got to the point that God even came down and said, I have to do something to stop this work. And He confused their language. And then they couldn't work together anymore, because this guy was speaking Puerto Rican and that guy was speaking Latin and this guy was, you know, speaking German and whatever, all the different languages. I don't know what the languages were there when they were initially set up. But all these different languages, one of them speaking Aramaic and the other one speaking Hebrew and Greek and all these different things. And they couldn't work together. So what did they have to do? They left off the work and they came over, and this little group that had their language, they fellowshipped over here. And this little group that had their language fellowshipped over there. And Satan said, oh, okay, I see how this works. Because Satan doesn't create anything. Because Satan's never had an original thought in his life. He just perverts what God does. All he can do is just pervert what God does. And Satan saw how this division of fellowship hindered the work so much. And he got himself a little idea that, oh, if I can just do that in the church of God, I'll be able to stop them from the things that they could be able to do together. Can you imagine? You see the things that are going on just around the message, the works that are being done, even with all the little divisions amongst us. Can you imagine if we unified together into one big body? You say, oh, that's ecumenical, Brother Nathan. No, I'm not talking about compromise. I'm talking about fellowship. I can have fellowship with brothers without compromising with them. That don't mean I've got to pat them on the back and say, oh, brother, you just teach it just right, and I just believe it the way. No, if there's something I disagree with them on, I'm man enough to tell them about it. I've stood toe-to-toe with many of them and told them, look, brother, I just don't see it that way. You know, maybe I just don't have the revelation that you do, but I don't have to agree with everything they do, but you can still have fellowship together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Turn with me if you would. Maybe after this morning you'll understand some of the things that I've done over the years and some of the brothers that I've fellowshipped in different things. You say, I don't understand why Brother Nathan would go there. I don't understand why he would have fellowship with this one or that one. Because I'm standing for the same thing that Brother Branham was. We'll read the quote here in a minute. He said, you see why I'm standing for the unity of every full gospel church? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Sound like he's talking to some message people. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Now Paul wasn't ashamed to call names. He didn't sugarcoat it and say, someone says I'm of this brother and one says I'm of that brother. He said, you know who you are. One of you says I'm of that Paul group, and one of you says I'm with Peter, and one of you says I'm with Apollos, and one says, well, I'm not with any of them. I don't believe in any ministers. I'm just with Christ. That sounds good, don't it? I'll just follow Christ. That's what the denominations say. We don't need Brother Branham. We'll just follow our Bible. Well, they don't even know what it says in the first place. Paul called names. I may have to call some names this morning, but I won't call it in a negative way. We're trying to call it in a positive way this morning. I'm of Paul. I have Apollos. I have Cephas, and I have Christ. He says, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" He says again, Brother Branham, in 1956, the ministry explained. He said, "Now it's like I said, if a doctor, a good doctor, though he have to cut you, if you got a cancer, let's cut the thing out and get rid of it. If you got a tumor, let's operate and get the thing out. If it's a bad appendix going to burst, take it out. If it does hurt, let's get rid of it. And if old unbelief and selfishness and denominations are absolutely binding us and separating us and separating brotherhood and the fellowship of Christ, let's get rid of the thing and get right with God and get out into the harnessing and serve the Lord." He says again, "Hear ye him," 1957. He says, "I often wonder, brother and sister, I hope this is not," he said, "this is not meant to hurt you, but it's meant to put something before you." He said, "How do you think the Holy Spirit must be to go before God to bring our character, our fussing, fighting, making differences, separating brotherhood? How do you think it must make the Holy Spirit feel? All of us Holy Ghost filled people, so we claim, you know, going around and fighting one another. And this brother over here, if he just teaches it a little different, we'll just discard him and put him away and not have fellowship with him. And that brother over there, you know, if he gets it wrong or if he says this or if he says that, bless God, we'll just draw a circle and draw him out." They did that to Brother Branham one time. And most of us, if we had been sitting there, we might have thought they had a right to do it, if you would be honest with yourselves. He was sitting there in a meeting. Here he was preaching baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he was blasting Trinitarianism and that Trinity baptism and saying it came out of the mother harlot herself, the Catholic Church. And here on the platform, he invites a man, a minister, to sit on the platform that's preaching Trinity, preaching titles. And those oneness people came up to him, those Assemblies of God, they said, "Brother Branham said you had a man on the pulpit that wasn't even baptized right." He said, "He's a brother." Said he's filled with the Holy Ghost. He said he's one of the best brothers I know. They said, "Brother Branham, he was baptized wrong," and said, "because you had him up there on the platform," said, "we're just going to draw a line, just draw a circle and draw you out." Now this was the biggest denomination that was still allowing Brother Branham to preach in their meetings. He said he sent more souls to the Assemblies of God church than he did any other because he felt at the time they were the closest. What would he say today? With a bunch of gays and lesbians and everything walking around. I saw them there at their convention when they just had it in Louisville recently. Most worldliest bunch of group I've ever seen. I've seen Baptists look 10 times better than that group of Assemblies of God kids look like. But he said at the time they were the closest. And he said if time went on 50 years, they'd be further away than the Catholic Church. And my, we look around and see they're there. And he sent all these to the Pentecostal church. The Assemblies of God had more doors open for him than anybody. And they say, "Brother Branham, if you don't get that man off that pulpit, we're just going to draw a circle and draw you right out." Now, politics would tell you, "Oh, my, they're going to shut all these doors, and all these, they're the ones that sponsor most of my meetings overseas, and this is just one brother after all." Just one brother. They didn't want him to disfellowship the whole group. It was just a brother. Politically, you'd have thought it had been much smarter just to say, "Well, brother, I love you, brother. And privately, I'm going to have fellowship with you, but it'd just make it a whole lot easier on me and my ministry if you just wouldn't sit on the platform tonight." But see, he just wasn't that type of man.
That's it, brother.
Amen. I'm glad to be following that type of man. This was a man that doctrinally, he probably disagreed from the high on down to the low. Couldn't even agree on water baptism together. But he said he's a brother and he wouldn't get him off the platform. They said, "Brother Branham, we'll just draw a circle and draw you out. As far as we're concerned, your ministry's done." He said, "That's okay, brother. I'll just draw a circle and draw you right back in." That was the kind of man that we followed. People professing the message today, is that the type of attitude that they have? "Oh, bless God, you don't see the serpent seed the way that I do. You're just an old hypocrite and serpent seed yourself." Brother Branham said, you better be careful.
That's right.
You might not have anything if you have that attitude too.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He says, and be not afraid in Isaiah 19:60. He says it's because that Satan has begun to push out his poison breath, has begun to blow his winds of strife, breaking churches apart, separating brotherhood. He says in Turning Northward 1961, he says, well, some new issues and different things kind of come in. He said, if it's not of God, it'll fall anyhow.
That's right.
I told my wife the other day, you know, hearing some things that have been said about me that were lies. And I told her, I said, honey, if these people that claim to believe the message, if they even just had the revelation that Gamaliel had. Gamaliel, who wasn't even a follower of Jesus. He was just a good scribe that had the intellectual knowledge to teach Moses' ministry in such a way that it influenced a young man named Paul who sat under his ministry. And he was a very wise theologian. And Gamaliel came when all this uprising came up about the church and them saying that they had stolen the body of Jesus and all these different things. He didn't say, well, bless God, I'm going to follow Jesus too. But he had enough wisdom to tell them in their council when all the Pharisees met together and were saying, what are we going to do with this sect called the Christians? He said, listen. He said, there was one named Judas that rose up and took hundreds out into the wilderness, just a cult. And he said, they perished out there. And he said, if this is something like that, just leave it alone and it'll perish on its own. He said, but if it is of God, then how could you put your hand to it and be found accountable of fighting God himself? If message people could just have the revelation that Gamaliel had, we'd be a lot further along. You say, oh, I don't agree with that, brother. I may not either. But if it's of God, then I don't want to be found fighting in it. If it's not of God, it's not going to amount to a hill of beans anyhow. He says in demonology, I didn't finish this quote, sorry. He says, if it's not of God, it'll fall anyhow. He says, just let them go ahead and let's love one another. Don't fight one another. As long as the devil's got you fighting one another, he don't have to fight at all. He'll sit back and has a picnic. Watching you fight one another and laugh at you professing to have the Holy Ghost and fighting one another. I wonder for the last 15 or 20 years if the devil hasn't had to do very much at all. We've sent him on a 15-year vacation around the message. And he's just sat back with his picnic and he's folded his arms. And he's thrown his head back and laughed a bunch of people. Supposedly following a prophet, and look at them all fighting one another, hate one another. Sending hate emails and hate letters to one another professing to have the Holy Ghost. And he sits back and laughs at us. It's time to find out where we're standing. He says in demonology in 1953, demonology in the physical realm. He said, I realize as I treat the people, I'm treating God. Just my attitude towards you is my attitude towards Christ. If we could take that one quote and live by it. If we could just take that one quote this morning and live by it, that how I treat Brother Stephen is how I treat Christ. How I treat Brother Jimmy or Brother Andrew or Brother Richie or all these different brothers. How I treat you is how I treat Christ. And don't wait just a minute. It's the opposite as well, how you treat me. How we treat one another is how we treat Christ. And we say, you know, some of the things that have been said about people around the message, I wouldn't say about my worst enemy. You say you have enemies, Brother Nathan? Oh, yes, we'll read it in a moment. Brother Ram said, anything that's against the Word is your enemy. I have plenty of enemies. And as time goes on and as more attack this message, I keep having more and more and more. They're my enemies. I don't hate them. I don't want to see them go to hell. But anything that's against this Word is my enemy. But Brother Branham gave us a very simple formula, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. I'll read you the quote verbatim later, but just quoting it by memory. He gave us a very simple formula to figure out who should be our brother and who should be our enemy. And he said, anything that's for this Word is your brother.
That's right.
And anything that's against this Word is your enemy. And in this day and age, it should be very simple for us to figure it out. Because people very publicly are taking a stand either way, whether they're for this message or against this message. And anything that's for this word is my brother. If he don't see serpent seed exactly the same way as I, or whatever other doctrine you want to talk about, I'll pray for him that God will reveal it to him. I hope he prays for me that God will reveal it to me. But if he's standing for this word, and friends, as time goes by, there's people that aren't here yet where we're at, what we're talking about this morning. There's people that can't handle this yet. But as time goes on and more people leave and more people attack, when you run across a brother that still believes God sent a prophet, you'll say, oh, that's a brother. That's a brother. You won't sit down and question him for 5,000 question document on what he believes on every single doctrine in the message. You'll say, oh, you still believe the message? You still following Brother Branham? You're a brother. Amen. We ought to be there now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But God is allowing Satan to get us into that condition whether we want to be or not. Anything that's for this word is my brother, and anything that's against it is my enemy. He says again in God commissioning Moses, 1953, he says, now among the full gospel people, there's fusses about different things. Oh, surely not. He says, amongst the full gospel people, there's fusses about different things. One believes that there will be a millennium. The other one says there will not be. That's a pretty big doctrine. That's a pretty big doctrine, I would say. If Brother Stephen, you know, he came up to me and said, Brother Nathan, I just don't think there's even going to be a millennium. Well, here it is in the message. Here it is in the Bible. I can plainly show you. He said, I don't believe in the message in the millennium. Would you let that brother preach in your church? Said he didn't even believe in the millennium? Most Methodist churches would be very hesitant. But you go back and search the message. Brother Ern Baxter, who opened almost every one of Brother Branham's meetings for probably a dozen years, didn't even believe there was going to be a millennium.
Right.
And yet Brother Branham had him opening his services.
Sure.
We've got this idea of the message and of how we should treat people and how we should be. But I don't know where we got it from. We sure didn't get it from Brother Branham.
That's right.
He says, now amongst the full gospel people, there's fusses about different things. One believes that there will be a millennium. The other one says there will not be. One says he's coming one way, one the other way. And they split. One baptizes one way and one another, and they argue about it. That's just like the rest of us. All through all the churches is that. Remember, Brother Branham said his ministry, God showed him those two trees with fruit falling off of it there. And he had buckets holding out on each side. And he said one was the Trinitarian and one was the oneness. And he said he was gathering fruit from both trees, standing in the middle. He says, but brother, here's the reason that I believe we're coming together. He's talking about how in the Sam Houston Coliseum there when Mr. Best had challenged him to a showdown there, and the people that believed in divine healing, they all came together. He said hundreds and thousands of them came together to band together there. He said, brother, here's the reason I believe there'll be a coming together. They didn't care whether they was riding a one-humped camel, two humps or three humps or whatever it was, they believed there was one thing in principle, that was the doctrine of divine healing, and thousands swarmed in from everywhere and filled that big stadium everywhere. What was it? Here they were, maybe one of them Trinitarian, another one oneness, maybe one of them believed he was coming on a cloud, another one believed he was coming on a horse. Some maybe didn't believe he was coming at all. Some looking for a millennium. Some not looking for a millennium. But they all believed in divine healing. And divine healing was being attacked. And thousands of them came together to have fellowship at that meeting and to stand and support the ministry. Why? Because the thing that they believed for was being attacked.
Yes, that's it.
Now, we've stood in this age and we've divided over all kinds of different things. We've divided over all kinds of different ideas. But let me tell you, friends, the thing that we believe is being attacked. The very thing that we stand for, the very thing that we can all agree on, anybody that claims to profess the message, is that we believe God sent a prophet in this day.
Yes, sir.
And that very thing is being attacked publicly.
Yes, sir.
Being attacked more and more every day, every week.
Right.
And I'll stand with any brother. I don't care what his doctrine is or what his idea is. If he wants to stand and fight some of this garbage with me, I'll stand and fight.
Yes, sir.
Because if he's for this word, he's my brother.
Satan's
Eden, 1965. Let me read it the way Brother Branham said it. He said, I don't care what it is, see? If it's against God's word, be against it.
Yes.
That's your enemy. Anything that's against the word is your enemy, and everything that's for the word is your brother. He's part of you. You bear with me a little bit this morning. I know I'm a little slower than I normally am, but I'm faster than I thought I'd be. About 14 years ago, I guess 13 years ago this month, Brother Joseph put out a document called Here I Stand. And it was because of attacks that were being made and things and people that were doing things that were contrary to what the franchise said. And he put out that document. And I at the time, was in much prayer about it. I didn't have a problem with it because I felt like my opinion has always been when it comes to the tapes and the books and the translations. I know he is so careful, and I've heard so many testimonies, that I know he's so careful with the translations and things like that, that if there's one word wrong, they'll just burn them all. He won't let it go out incorrectly. If they find a mistake, they'll just correct it and get rid of that group and bring out another group. And I've always felt like a person like that, you know, I don't know what everybody else does and how they do their books and how they do their tapes and their translations and all that and what process they run through. I have confidence in him because I feel like he'll do everything he can to protect it and keep it the way that it was. So I didn't have any problem with Here I Stand. I said, amen. Time went on. And some of the ministers and Voice of God had kind of begun to go back and forth, and they both got lawyers involved. And my personal opinion, you can like it or not like it, but that's where they both sides went wrong, when they got lawyers involved, because then they started throwing legal jargon back and forth at each other and making legal threats and all these different things, and it escalated and it escalated and it escalated until things got to the point where they did. Some of the ministers took a stand against the trademark, because some of the lawyers were threatening that they couldn't even use the name William Branham if they kept on and pursuing this and everything and back and forth. And it just got out of hand on both sides with the lawyer's side of it. So these brothers divided and took sides. And some brothers went with Voice of God and some brothers went with this group of ministries. And it caused a lot of contention around the bride for a long time. And I'm just going to share some things with you this morning. I believe I share them with permission. I don't know. I feel like from the Lord that I have permission to say these things. Right. And during all that, I had a dream. And I don't dream a whole lot of dreams that I consider to be spiritual dreams, but I felt like this was one of them. And I was with Brother Billy and Brother Joseph in the dream. And there was a sister that was with us at the time. I won't call her name. She's here locally but doesn't attend our church. An older sister, old enough to be my mother. And I don't know why she was there, except maybe that she represented the bride. And we were standing there outside of, if you've seen George Smith's video where they believe they found the cave of Brother Branham there, and they go down into it, just a hole in the ground. And we went down in like we would to go into Brother Branham's cave. But when we got in there, it wasn't a small cave like Brother Branham's. It was a huge open room, like a coliseum, almost something like Mammoth Cave would be or something like that. And we're standing down there, and Brother Billy was having heart problems at the time. And in my dream, I shook his hand, and I hugged him just really gently, you know, because knowing he had heart problems, he said, oh, give me a real hug, and I hugged him tight. And I went over to Brother Joseph, and I shook his hand. I said, Brother Joseph, I've been trying to get with you. This is in the dream. I said, I've been trying to get with you. I'd like to have an interview with you. He said, I know, Brother Nathan. He said, but just go back and read Here I Stand Again. I woke up from the dream, and of course, what did I do? I immediately went and read Here I Stand Again, and I realized that the point to me, if Here I Stand wasn't so much about a franchise, although that was part of it, but this is what Brother Branham had said on tape about the franchise and all these different things that he had said in the quotes and in the tapes. And as I begin to look at it again, it struck me that if we compromise on this part of it and say, well, you know, Brother Branham said that, but he didn't really mean it that way about the franchise holder and all this, then where does it stop? Where do we stop compromising and saying, well, you know, Brother Branham said this, but we're just going to do this anyhow? And so it kind of gave just a stronger revelation, I guess you would say, to me. And I would go around, and I still had fellowship with many of those brothers. I didn't hate them. I don't hate them today. I love those brothers. And Brother Joseph and Brother Billy, some of the finest men on the face of the earth, sons of a prophet, doing one of the greatest works that could be done. Some of these ministers on the other side, some of the greatest, most powerful ministries around the message. They brought thousands of people to this message, and they've influenced thousands of people to stay in this message. And most of them, as far as I know, all of them still today, except for one, standing for the message and fighting all these things that are going on, attacking the message. So I would fellowship with them, and some of them, you know, they weren't very vocal about it. And others, I was in Arizona one time with me and Brother Trevor, and a brother, just as soon as we sat down at the table, he just started in on the Branham family, just everything from all the way back to the 50s or 60s or everything he could think of that he had against the Branham family, and just went on and on and on for about an hour till finally I was sick of it, and I walked outside. The brother came out there. I said, "Brother, I said you can have your opinions." I said, "But I stand with the Branham family." And he didn't say a word about it the rest of the weekend. Brother Trevor said, as soon as I got on the plane, he started up right again. But what was it? I was still trying to have fellowship, but I had to take my stand to show them, brothers, I'm not against these brothers. I'm for them. I support what they're doing. I'm behind them. I believe they're doing such a great work, getting millions of books and tapes in the hands of the people. Well, you know, we go along year after year after year, and it got divided and more divided to where people wouldn't have fellowship with one another. And now, really, as far as my personal opinion, I'll just put it that way, here I stand shouldn't even be an issue at this point. Brother Joseph put it away, said they dropped the case, everything went on, and now what has he done? What argument do they have? How freer can you get than free? How cheaper can you get than free? What argument do they have? They want the books and the tapes, that they can go get them for free. They're on the website for free. You can listen to them free. You can read them free. If you want them on your phone or on your computer, you know, if you can't afford the micro SD chip for the price of it, $29, just the price of the chip, you can have the whole message. We'll buy it for you if you can't afford it. It's there for the people. It's there for the people. And I've always, my personality, I guess I'm what you call a mediator, and I've always tried to just to patch fellowship. And there's some brothers, I could call their names if you wanted me to, but I'm not going to do it this morning. There's some brothers right around this town locally that caused more problems than any of the lawyers or ministers or any of the stands that anybody took. Right here locally, men going around, and they would find the worst parts that some of these ministers were saying, and they'd go around and play that to everybody. Brother Branham called that sowing discord, and the Bible said that that was something that God hated. I'm kind of the opposite kind of guy. When I hear something good about somebody, I go around and tell them about that. And I'm going to have to do it this morning. We're just going to have to call a few names. I've sat at a table with Brother Donnie Reagan and relayed things to him that I heard, and I could tell you the man that said it, but I won't do that this morning either. At Voice of God Recordings, there was a man sitting one day in the lunchroom, and he was so upset about some of the things that the ministers were saying, and he said, "That Reagan," and Brother Joseph stopped him, and he said, "That's Brother Reagan." I relay those kind of things back and forth. That's the kind of things that I try to take back and forth to the brothers. If I hear something good that they said, if I hear something good that they did, and you know, there's been things that I've disagreed with that have been said, but there's been thousands of things since that I've agreed with that have been said. Some of them have left. Jeff Jenkins, he's gone. He left. He defected. And he got up and preached a sermon. I call it the anti-cloud sermon. And he preached and began to attack the message and began to say, even though he was still claiming supposedly to be a message preacher, said Brother Branham was absolutely wrong and all these different things. And he began to attack in all these different ways. And when all that happened, I thought, oh my, he was sympathizing with John Collins and played his little video first and went along there. And I thought, well, how sad is that, this man that professes the message taking a stand with a man like that? And immediately after that, Brother Donnie came in his church and preached a sermon called Without Understanding. And basically ripped apart everything that these defectors had said about the message, the mistakes and the numbers and the names and the dates and all these different things. And he showed about 100 different scriptures in the Bible that you can take if they would be honest with themselves, these people leaving the message. If they would just take and look at their own Bible, they would condemn themselves, and they'd have to either be atheists or admit that the message was right as well, because you can find the exact kind of things intellectually in there. And the defectors hate him. They absolutely hate him. They have attacked him more than any other man in the message except William Branham. If I didn't know anything else about the man, I'd say, God bless him. Because they absolutely hate him because of what he did, and he exposed it there. Then he comes around and he gets invited to Jeff Jenkins' church. where a man who was a minister for longer than I've been born probably had left the message and walked away because that he had only had an intellectual faith instead of an actual revelation. And he comes there and his sermon title is The Dangers of Intellectual Faith. I thought, oh my, he's not playing around. I appreciate those things. And he's been attacked in the news and in the media, and even on CNN and Fox and these different things because of his stand for the message, because he's against interracial marriage. And not only that, he's against marrying unbelievers with believers. And he's been attacked publicly. They've crucified him publicly, basically. Death threats and everything else. And, you know, when I see things like that and I see the defectors getting scared and attacking in ways like that, I have to think, God, there has to be something there. There has to be something there. Paradox of 1964. Brother Branham says, I'm a Kentuckian. Together we stand, divided we fall. Why the Indians lose this country to the white people, it's because they were divided amongst themselves. Now, I'll call a few more names here, and we'll just look at a few things. Brother Tim Pruitt, he was one of the ministers on the other side there. And just recently, there's been some things that have happened to restore fellowship. Brother Joseph and them found out that they were ordering about $2,000, I guess, worth of tracts and things to use in an outreach program that they're doing for their new church. And when he found this out, Brother Tim has said this publicly, so I'm sure I have permission to say it publicly as well. When he found it out, he wrote him a letter back and said, I'm not receiving your check. I'm sending your check back for the tracts, and I'm sending you double the amount of tracts for free. And wrote him a nice letter saying how he felt like he was a man of God and all these different things. And what was it? That one little act of kindness. Something seems simple, but just that one little act of kindness has begun to restore fellowship. Even Brother Biscoe and the ones from Cloverdale, they're ordering the tracts and things from Voice of God for their outreach. And to see little movements of fellowship and things like this, you don't know how it encourages my heart, because that's what's been on my heart for a dozen years or more, to see fellowship begin to be restored. We're beginning to see little movements of it, and it's thanks to the defectors, because Brother Branham said that God would allow the squeeze to come to push us together. And friends, Brother Branham said he was a Branham, and he said in the backyard those Branhams would just fight and scrap it out and fight one another. But he said, oh, you better not come up against us in the front yard, or you'll have a fight on your hands. And the bride of Jesus Christ has been doing a lot of fighting in the backyard for about a dozen years, but friends, the defectors are getting us out in the front yard, and they're going to find that the real bride of Jesus Christ is going to stand together. Brother Branham said, together we stand and divided we fall. I may lose friends over it. I may lose church members. I don't know what I'll lose, but I'm going to stand for the Word of God, and any man that's willing to stand and fight with me against this garbage going on, I'll call him a brother and link arm in arm with him, and I'll fight the devil with him. It's too late of an hour to be playing around over, this brother, he sees it this way, and that brother, we've got a lot bigger battles than what so-and-so sees. He said, how are we going to lose this great race? It's because we're divided. How are we going to do it? We got to stay together. We're all believers in God. The Holy Ghost takes us all in. He said it'll be a paradox if God ever gets us all together, but He will. Just trust Him, he said. He knows how to send the persecution that'll run us together. He knows how to send the persecution that'll run us together. Now, I'll share a few other things here. I mentioned Brother Biscoe earlier. The defectors hate his testimony. He just gave his testimony recently at a camp in Texas, and mine. They hate that because it exposes and shows things, live witness accounts of what actually happened there in the meetings with Brother Branham and different things. He said it wasn't mind reading. He said he was telling Brother Biscoe things that he didn't even have on his mind about people that Brother Biscoe didn't even know. And then Brother Biscoe went along and found out somebody else later down the road knew the person, and what Brother Branham had told him was the truth. He said that wasn't mind reading, it was God. And he stood there. You know, there's been some controversy about him over the last few years. His church split and different things because of a lot of different things the people had got stirred up about him. About 3 years ago, I was at a Christmas party for the homeschool Christmas play there. They had rented a school to have it, and just the providence of God, I don't know why it happened the way it did. I was getting ready to go to Tennessee for some fellowship and things, and happened to run into Brother Joseph there. And you know, I'm more selfish than you. I don't know. Whenever he comes over and talks to me, as long as he keeps talking, I don't say, "Oh, there's other brothers that want to fellowship with you, Brother Joseph. I better not bother you." As long as he's talking, I just let him talk. I'm sure you're a better Christian than I, and you would do it differently. But We probably talked for an hour or so, and I was starting to feel bad because all these other brothers sitting there with their arms folded, you know, and here I am standing there talking for him so long, but he was doing the talking. Excuse me. And something came up about Brother Biscoll, and I wasn't saying anything negative about Brother Biscoll at all. But just when his name came up in the conversation, he grabbed my arm and stopped me. He said, "Brother Biscoll's a real gentleman." I thought, my, what a way to handle it. I didn't have anything in my heart that I was going to say negative about him that I knew of or anything like that. But if I had have been, talk about putting the brakes on it. If it had been a brother coming there with something evil to say, and he says, now Brother Biscoll's a real gentleman, that would kind of put a stop to it. I've noticed me and my dad have talked about even Brother Collins many times, you know, over the years. We've watched him, and you go to talk to him about somebody, whether you're going to say something good or bad. Oh, do you know Brother so-and-say? Oh, a precious brother. Precious brother. If you got something evil in your heart to say, that kind of puts the brakes on it right there. So God gives these brothers some wisdom to be able to handle things. And just many of these different things, I could go on and tell other testimonies of things. When the SD card came out, and they were offering it for just the price of the card, I told Brother Donnie about it, and he asked me, he said, "Do you think they'd mind if we put it up on our website and link to it?" I said, "I'm sure they wouldn't, but I'll check," and went back and checked with Brother Joseph. I'd sent him a text message. He said, "Oh, it'd be an honor to have them do it," and just different little things like that, little movements of fellowship, and some things had been told in Honduras a few years ago, lies about Brother Joseph, and the brother reached out to me and asked me, he said, "Can you find out if this is true or not?" And so I began to dig into it and found out there were some brothers that had went down there from Voice of God. And one of the brothers, one of the minister's brothers down there, had got on the phone to Brother Donnie and different brothers and was telling them that the voice of God said that they had to sit down and stop preaching and only play tapes and all these different things. And so it just so happened my brother-in-law was one of the brothers that was there. So I went and I talked to him about it. And I said, I just want to let you know what's going on. If you want me to handle it, I can handle it. If you all want to take over and handle it from here. And they went back and watched the DVD where the brother claimed that all this happened and all these things were said. They said, "No, that's absolutely not the truth. That nothing like that was even said. Nothing like that was even mentioned." So I went back and I told the brothers that had asked me. I said, "Well, they say that's not the truth. They have the DVD and they're willing to share the DVD with you if you want to see it." And he said, "No." He said, "In the meantime, I found out with some other brothers down there from in Honduras that the brother that's claiming all these things wasn't even at the meeting. He just assumed all that and said it and started a rumor and started it up." But I told him, I said, "Well, I appreciate you coming and clarifying instead of just, you know, assuming like so many do. They hear something about, well, brother so-and-so said this and brother so-and-so said that. And what do you do before? If you're not careful, you just start to believe all those things without going and checking it out for yourself." If I'm going to say something about a brother, I want to go and check it out for myself. Let me read you this quote. If the musicians would come, I'm trying to wind down here. Thirsting for Life in 1960. He says, "This great pillar of fire, the angel of God, the Logos that went out of God, that led the children of Israel through the wilderness, when it come among the people, it separated itself, and great licks of fire begin to come upon each one as pillars of fire begin to break up, and God dividing himself amongst his people." He said, "Oh, that ought to tear the heart out of anybody. God tearing himself apart that he might divide himself a little bit with each one of us. That all together, you see what I mean? Listen to this. This is what Brother Branham stood for. This is what I'm standing for." He said, "Can you see now why I'm standing for the unity of every church, every full gospel church, every believer? We ought to be one heart, one mind, and one accord. No matter how much we differ in the scriptures," he said. "That might be, one might see it this way, that has nothing to do with it. But in principle, we ought to stand one great army of God marching on, because each one of you, in your peculiarity, God has proved he's ignoring your doctrine because he gave you the Holy Ghost." God proved. God didn't come down and say, now Brother Joshua, how do you see serpent seed? And can you say in a prayer to me, how do you see the Godhead?" And no, if he gave you the Holy Ghost, he proved he's ignoring your doctrine. He didn't write you through a checklist first of all your doctrinal beliefs. Hey, it's going to take God to get us all straightened out. I'm sure there's things that we all, you know, I don't claim to know it all and believe it all. I believe it all to the extent that I know, but I don't claim that I'm perfect and that I believe it all 100% correct. I'm learning every day. Yes, sir. I'm learning every day. And so if I'm going to learn something tomorrow, I can't say that I believe it all 100% correct today, or then that puts a period and I stop learning. But I believe it to the ability that God has revealed it to me today, and I look forward to Him to reveal more to me tomorrow. I don't believe He's going to reveal any more than He revealed to Brother Branham to me, but I believe there's plenty that He revealed to Brother Branham that we haven't even grasped yet. And I'm looking every day. Why do I read my Bible? Why do I pray? Why do I study? I'm looking for a little bit more of God every day. Can you see why I'm standing for the unity of every believer, every full gospel church, every believer? We ought to be one heart, one mind, and one accord, no matter how much we differ in the Scriptures. That might be, one might see it this way, that has nothing to do with it. But in principle, we ought to stand one great mighty army of God marching on, because each one of you, in your own peculiarity, God has proved He's ignoring your doctrine, because He gave you the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said He gave them the Holy Ghost that obeyed Him. Now, if I obeyed Him in my peculiar way, and you obeyed Him in your peculiar way, He gave us both the Holy Ghost, so we ought to be Christian brethren and sister enough to arm up together and march on for one great purpose, the gospel. The gospel. Hey man, I want to get behind these brothers. Brother Joseph is doing such a great work out here. Why would I want to go buy me a printing press and a bunch of books and tapes and things and try to go sell them? Why not just get behind the man that's packing the ball? Some of these other men have dynamic ministries that God has given them. Why would I want to go out and try to imitate those men and hold my tie like them and walk like them and talk like them? Why not let God use them in their peculiar way and use me in my peculiar way, and each one of us get behind the man that's packing the ball in that peculiar way for the one purpose, to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people. To get it into their hearts, not just into their minds, but into their hearts. Friends, if the bride of Jesus Christ can come together and forget all these differences and things and work together with one heart and one purpose, just to try to get people together and ready for a body change, friends, it's just untelling what God might do.
Yes,
to see us as a body of believers, not just Church of the Open Door, not just Jeffersonville or New Albany, but the world together, the bride of Jesus Christ working together, arm in arm with fellowship. Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, he said, once we begin to realize those two spirits and withstand the two, the spirits, the Antichrist spirit, and stand for the Holy Ghost together, he said the gates of hell would be powerless against this bride of Jesus Christ. He said in 1965, I believe it's in the Invisible Union of the Bride of Jesus Christ, he said, the move is on for the Bride of Jesus Christ. He said, that's right. That's thus saith the Lord. I just want to be part of the move.
Amen.
Hey man, I don't have to be the big shot. I don't have to be the ringleader. I just want to be part of the move. The move of the Bride of Jesus Christ, not the move of the Church of the Open Door or the Branham Tabernacle or Cloverdale or whatever church you want to name. I don't care about all that. I want to be part of the move of the Bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen, because He said the move is on for the bride.
Yes,
amen. I'm thankful to be part of it this morning.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God bless you. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, these things that have been weighing on my heart for weeks now, Lord, just may You just deliver them to each heart in the spirit that they were meant in. Lord, help the people to see maybe things, maybe they don't understand why I do certain things or why I fellowship with certain brothers or why I stand for certain things. But Father, it's because I've seen such a separation of brotherhood. And Lord, I'm standing for a unity of the full gospel churches around the message. We may not be able to see everything eye to eye, but Lord, if we can just press together to the mark of the high calling and lay aside all these things in the past, oh Father, this bride of Jesus Christ, Your prophet said the move is on for Him. Lord, help us to move together. Help us not to fight one another and say, because you're not of the eye, then you don't have seeing, and just throw away the hand or the foot or the leg or whatever it would be. But Lord, may there not be one schism in the body, but may we just all be jointly fit together, Father God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, it's my desire to see the body fitly joined together. Not just at this little church, Lord, although that's my desire too. Lord, to see this church just as a unit, as a body of believers, to work together, to see the signs and wonders and the gifts and the ministries that You've given, to see them working fluidly, Lord, in the church. I desire to see it too, Father. But Lord, the bride as a whole, may we be fitly joined together. May all these little fights and fusses in the backyards, may we realize that it's too late of an hour for that. But let us stand together in the front yard as the bride of Jesus Christ and fight all this garbage that has gone on to try to attack the message and try to pull people away. Father, may we stand for this message with everything that's within us. May we link arm with any brother that's standing for it and walk on, Lord, to one purpose, the purpose of the gospel, that, Lord, to try to be a help to somebody and an encouragement to somebody. I thank you for my brothers, Lord. I thank you for the Branham family. I thank you for these ministers around the world that are packing this message, Lord. As you said, these young men would take this message and pack it on, Father, after you were gone. I thank you for men that are standing for it in the face of adversity, in the face of defection, in the face of attacks and blasphemies, that there's still a group of men that are standing and a group of people, Lord, around the world, the bride of Jesus Christ gathered in different assemblies that are standing for this message with everything that they have within them. They may be made fun of, they may be talked about, Father, but Lord, may we stand for it with everything that's within us. As old Buddy Robinson said, Lord, help us just to bite the devil with everything we got while we got a tooth in our head and then gum him till we die. Oh, I want to go down fighting, Father. I don't want to rust out. Lord, I might wear out, but help me never to rust out. Help me to go down fighting the battle, Lord. Thank you this morning for giving me enough breath to be able to say the things I had on my heart. Lord, just be with this group of people, Lord. I know many times it's misunderstood. Many times, Lord, locally people don't understand. People come into a church like this and, Lord, maybe they get, Lord, made fun of or things said about them. I don't know everything that the people go through, Father, but may you just be with them and strengthen them and encourage them and help us, Lord. May they realize this morning why we're standing for unity amongst the bride is because that's what your prophet stood for, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. I'll just go ahead and say this because I let it slip to somebody that's not a part of the church, and I've been scared to death it was going to get out before I got up here Sunday morning. My brother just asked me point blank. He said, who's some of the guest ministers that you're having next year? And I said, well, I actually haven't. I've only got one on my heart so far. But when all that came up with the tracks and everything, with the fellowship there with Brother Tim and Brother Joseph, I'd had it on my heart to call him for a while because of some meetings they had at their family camp this last year. He brought some brothers together, and it was just a tremendous set of meetings. My wife and I watched most of them online, and the Lord just really moved, and just a lot of things that were said in defense of the message against some of these attacks and things that have been going on. I really appreciated the services. I've been meaning to call him about that anyhow, and I called him and told him I appreciated those services and appreciated, you know, how him and Brother Joseph working together on this and asked him to be praying about coming and preaching for us 4th of July weekend, Brother Tim Pruitt. So he's praying about it, and Lord willing, unless the Lord just leads him differently, we'll have him 4th of July. I don't think we'll have quite as many guest ministers as we did this year. This year I felt led to try to have one every month, and the Lord really blessed the meetings, and we appreciate everyone that's come through and what the Lord's done. I've been in much prayer about who to have next year, and I just honestly, that's the only brother that's really the Lord has laid on my heart for next year so far. So I don't know. I'm sure we'll have other brothers. We'll have 4th of July and Labor Day meetings for sure, Lord willing, next year. I don't know. I don't have a direct leading on anything else at this point. Also wanted to announce, I meant to announce it with the prayer request earlier, but I didn't. We will be having Wednesday night service here Christmas Eve, 7:30. We will be having Wednesday night service New Year's Eve at 7:30. It will not be a watch night service. I've prayed and prayed about it and just couldn't find a direct leading. So just going to do a regular service that night instead of a watch night service. This Sunday night, tonight, we will not be having a men's meeting. I'm not going to cancel it, but I'm going to push it back just until I can try to get some more lung strength. Lord willing, we'll do that the following Sunday night instead, which will be the 28th. And Brother Layton, Lord willing, is going to be preaching for us coming up here soon as well. So we'll be looking forward to that. How many loves the Lord this morning? Just keep me in your prayers. I felt a lot better than I thought I was this morning. But still just need, I just don't have that lung strength back like I want. But let's try to sing something this morning. Let's stand together if you would.
Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy?
We've got something to be happy about this morning.
Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by by the prophet of Malachi 4. Oh, can't you see why? Said the word of the Lord. That was spoken by the prophet. Let's just raise our hands. Just worship the Lord together. We've got something to be happy about. Can't you see why I'm so happy? Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi.
One more time with all our hearts.
Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? Oh, I've accepted the word of
thank you, Lord, for that revealed word,
the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet. Oh, Papa God, you saved me from my old life. Have cleansed and made me whole. Lord, you touched my heart. I know I need you so, Papa God.
Let's just worship Him together this morning.
Oh, Papa God.
Lord, you touched my heart,
you changed my soul. Now I know I need you so. You saved me, oh, my old life. You forgave me.
Let's just sing it together again.
Oh, Father.